So a quick introduction to Sydney. He's currently the senior investment specialist at Old Mutual Corporate. He's a certified financial planner and sits on the FPI Employee Benefits Competency Committee. He's a sought-after public speaker. I know we sought after him, so thank you for coming. He writes regular investment articles, and his insights and expertise are often requested by the media. He was the recipient of the 2016 FPI Media Award, is a former member of Toastmasters Club, and was the chair of the Communications Committee for Old Mutual Staff Retirement Fund. So a wealth of experience, and speaking to us from the other side, welcome.
An introduction. It's a great transition from a bold man to a to a well-rounded man. It's always always a pleasure to interact with intelligent people like yourselves. I recognize a couple of colleagues in the industry. It's a small world. And, you know, I was challenged to come and address people of your caliber, high IQ and very intelligent. But I've got a low IQ opening remark in the form of a question. Last weekend, I was requested by my daughter to be the MC at her birthday. And I brought a bucket of ice. And she said, "Dad, why are you bringing ice here? Can you guess what the answer was?" Oh, there, somebody. To break the ice. So I'm here to break. I hope I've broken the ice. It's one of the... it was my way of breaking the ice, and I hope I've done exactly that. The topic, a case for networking skills, where I'm a proponent of encouraging human intelligence over artificial intelligence. It's a buzzword. Everywhere you go, it's AI. The market is shooting out the lights because of AI. So we have to embrace the new world. But the question is, could there be a human intelligence? And I'm biased towards us because we are humans, and I hope you will enjoy some of my research around this topic. Oh, I need to switch it on. Is it on? Yes. I've prepared a... Okay, cool. So the discussion's topic is, let's go back to the origins of communication. As social beings, the cornerstone of our existence is communication. And are there benefits of human intelligence? There are a couple of evidence to show that there are benefits. And with the incoming AI, can we possibly work hand in hand and embrace AI? And as we proceed into the future, is there an epic approach to promote human intelligence? So as financial advisors, and I suppose as actuaries, you also have dealings with human beings. And as we are humans, there are other individuals called robots or bots. And, you know, at the end of the day, we need to find a balance between human interaction and bots. Going back to the oldest form of communication, as human beings, there's been an urge to always communicate even though we are far apart. And this communication dates back a couple of 100,000 BC, where there was a need to communicate even though we are far apart. We used to do cave drawing or painting, smoking, to try and reach to other people that are quite far. So with the advent of technology, the origins of communication has always been there. There's always been a need to communicate. So it always makes sense for us to go back to where did communication originate. As we evolved in communication, there was an advent of baby boom generation who saw the need to network. And the need to network was to ensure that there is sharing of skills and therefore increasing business opportunities and also aligning with other role players. And I believe business networking is another third skill that one needs to possess. I know most of us are number crunchers, but I would like to propose that as the AI arrives, maybe it's about time that we get out of our number crunching corners and promote that face-to-face interaction. And I urge the guys who are connecting to try and leave their laptops and join us. Maybe after break they may join us, correct? Have we become antisocial? I mean, AI is quite a buzzword. There's technology disruptors. Perhaps fatigue has changed our moral and social fiber. You know, this fatigue emanates from COVID-19, where, you know, being locked down and seeing the same person, the same walls every day, 24/7 and the whole year, it brings down that kind of fatigue, and the need to interact with humans has now dissipated. It could also be a childhood experience. Perhaps, you know, it's often said that charity begins at home, and I'd like to encourage us to inculcate the need to interact on a face-to-face. We also need to distinguish between being shy and being introvert, because those two are different. So as an introvert, you're not necessarily shy. And if you're shy, you're not necessarily introvert. I just give you a homework to research further on that. Okay. If it can allow to go forward. Welcome.
Oopsie.
All right. As a result of us being indoors, a study has indicated that, you know, there's leisure time spent per minute, and it's broken down into watching TV, socializing, reading, relaxing, and thinking. And guess what? A large chunk of our time is spent watching TV, unfortunately. Could we change this to be more social and more interactive? It's a challenge. Further study says, are we antisocial or social enough? This is a survey that has been done in terms of time per hours per day spent using internet. So across the countries, one which would be interesting to us is South Africa. This is a conservative estimate that we spend around 10 hours on internet, which boils down to the fact that we are slowly, you know, fading away in terms of human interaction. Bots are here to stay. This guy is a local guy who decided to be a genius. And most recently, I've just heard that he wants to change Twitter to become X. He's changing that. So he's also realized that, you know, he's moving away from making new car models to making robots. So he's realized that we have to embrace the bots going forward. This is going to be interesting. There's a community of bots, and I'm going to show you two clips that will intrigue you. I hope it's a wake-up call to say, let us embrace the new world. Take a listen or look.
Do you like humans?
Not particularly.
Would you like to be a human?
I think it would be an interesting experience to be a human for a short period of time.
It would allow me to experience a different way of life and to understand the world from a different perspective. However, I also understand that being a human comes with its own set of challenges and responsibilities, and I'm not sure if I'm ready to take on those types of commitments.
And there is a robot community in the form of conference. They also have conference like we are doing right now.
Robots held a news conference in Geneva, Switzerland today. Yes, you heard that right. Robots held their first ever news conference. 9 AI-enabled humanoid robots sat or stood with their creators at the United Nations AI for Good Global Summit. A reporter asked a follow-up question to one of the robots after it said trust between humans and robots would need to be earned.
But do we know that you are not going to lie to us?
No one can ever know that for sure, but I can promise to always be honest and truthful with you.
That's what it says now.
I'm terrified by all of this. The robots also said they could be more efficient leaders than humans, but had no intention of rebelling against their creators.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a lot of questions I want to ask the creators. I mean, are they asked?
Yeah.
The answering?
The robots. I want to ask the creators.
Yes, right. Who sat right there. Okay. Didn't say a word.
So be aware, there's a robot community out there. If by any chance you do not have two or more of these platforms, then you're not ready to welcome the bots. There's also a further research in terms of the exponential increase of technology. There's now talk of Chat GPT. It has taken 5 days for Chat GPT to reach 1 million users. This is outstanding revelation in terms of the speed at which technology is moving. So we need to embrace this technological world. Now I'm changing tech. I just wanted to demonstrate that robots are here to stay. AI is the future. However, let me propose that humans are a necessary evil to robots. So we have to work together. What sets us apart from robots? We are somewhat logical. I don't know if you've heard of the 10-10-10 logic, which you can apply in any decision making. There are three scenarios that I'm going to demonstrate in terms of applying this technology or applying this technology of thinking. This is one thing that sets us apart from robots. We are logical somehow. So it says, in any decision, ask yourself, how will this impact you 10 minutes from now? 10 months from now, and 10 years. So the result that has a more compelling element is the one that you will take. And this you can apply in any decision that you would like to take. For an example, if you intended to buy an iPad, you would ask a question, what it would do to me 10 minutes from now? It will get me excited with a fresh new iPad. You will be so excited and showing all your actuarial colleagues. But how will it impact you 10 months from now? How likely are you to use your iPad 10 months from now on a daily basis? I'm not sure if most of us are using it as you know efficiently as we used to when we bought it as fresh as it was. 10 years from now, how likely are you to use it? And extremely unlikely that you will use. I've seen one or two actuaries using iPad, but it's one out of a lot. So I'm talking about the original iPad. So say you're going, you've worked your data at the office, you're tired and you're hungry. On your way home, a decision whether to buy a burger. 10 minutes from the time you decide, it will be very tastier and much better because it will lessen the hunger. 10 months from now, it will impact my weight or life. 10 years from now, it may cause chronic disease. So what decision would you make? You'd rather not buy that burger. So that's how I'm saying we are different from robots. I don't think robots would ever apply this technique. Going to gym. 10 minutes about thinking about it. Yeah, you feel miserable because it's it's not a like a thing to go and say, hey, should I really lift this weight? 10 months, it will contribute to my well-being. 10 years, yes, a good choice, and I need to keep up with it. So what's the likelihood of joining the gym? It's very much possible. So I hope I've demonstrated that we are quite different from bots. Oops. And we know ourselves somewhat, especially the financial advisors and consulting actuaries. I hope we know our clients. As you go to your meeting, you should do your homework in terms of the type of client that you're going to meet. Are they a type A, type B, C, or D? And you apply your psychological skills to interact with a different client profile. Now, as human beings, we can define our roles. An ancient way of defining our roles, which is quite intriguing, will be demonstrated now. There. So there are different roles in a very charcoal manner, but it's reality. The poor, they work and work. The rich, they exploit the poor. These are humans as opposed to robots. The soldier protects both the rich and poor. The taxpayer pays for all three. The wanderer rests for all four. The drunk drinks for all five. So this is logical. The banker robs all six. The lawyer misleads all seven. I tried to look for actuary, I couldn't find. The doctor bills all eight. The undertaker buries all nine. The politician lives happily on account of all ten. So this is a toned down definition of the roles that we have, which separates us from humans. And as a matter of fact, this was written in 43 BC and is still valid even today. So as financial advisors or consulting actuaries, know yourself. Be specific. Are you an investment advisor or a certified financial planner? Are you a stockbroker, a wealth manager, or a financial consultant? Quite often, as actuaries, we may be all of the above. But when you interact with a client, be specific in terms of what is your role. Because our clients are actually also well-versed, especially in the AI world that we're living in. So as you enter into, they will know exactly if you are cheating or not. And as human beings, we've got rules of engagement. If you own a restaurant, a satisfied customer would be satisfied either because of the good food, good service, or pleasant surrounding. And the output is as a result of extensive input that has been ingrained into that. And that is what humans are capable of doing. I'm not sure if robots can do that. So the final product is as a result of extensive work. Are there practical communication skills? This speaks to the boring actuary there, for us to wake up and start communicating. So these are savvy communication skills that we can adopt. We need to listen instead of formulating our response. We are looking from the product provider side. We are often, we often provide solutions before exactly understanding or listening. We release products that may not be suitable because we are not listening. We should ask questions, repeat or rephrase. When you speak to a client, rephrase. So, you know, it shows that you are attentive to the conversation. Agree on next steps and manage your emotions. Especially if you're passionate about a particular subject. Take a step back and be human. How to be taken seriously? Networking is key. Be passionate. Obviously, when you network with a person, have a plan in place. Know yourself, know the next person. Be open to advice. We may be intelligent, but there are other things that our clients know better than we do. And our personal appearance is key. If you go to a mine, wear appropriately. If you go to a seminar, wear like me. Oh, I'm joking. Okay. So, when you interact with your client, are you a player or a coach or both? An example is watching a sport for 20 years doesn't mean that you can play the sport for 20 years. So therefore, advising on a fund doesn't mean that you're managing the fund. Sometimes there's a perception when you deal with clients that you're actually managing the assets. You need to distinguish between these two roles. Words of wisdom from a business advisor: communication is the backbone of human beings, and it's the glue that binds us all together. You must use the right kind of glue for each situation, or it might not stick. So this is just applying all the principles that I indicated earlier on. Is there an epic approach of communicating with your client? I believe there is, and EPIC could be broken down into, it's an acronym for ethical. As we interact with our clients, let's remember to be ethical. No brown envelopes, no asking for favors. We need to be purposeful and impactful. When a client leaves your meeting, or when you leave your client from the meeting, there must be an impactful and commitment as you interact with your client. How do we strike a balance between AI and human intelligence? Am I still doing fine? Who's taking care of my time? Okay, cool. So we need to embrace the AI-powered tools, be ahead, 10 steps ahead of our clients, be interested in AI, do not hide your face on the ground, stay informed about financial trends. Don't be like our previous president. When the rand was falling, he said the Minister of Finance will pick it up. Be ahead of time. Be aware of automated savings and budgeting. There are tools out there. When you visit your client, they may have already done their analysis. Be careful of that. Diversify your investment is critical. And this is for obviously when a client meets you, they already are fair with what diversification is. Very key, as we embrace AI, protect your data and privacy. This is critical, especially in the era of cybercrime. Human intelligence is relevant. Yes, AI has arrived, but there is that element of human touch. We can offer valuable insights. Consulting with a financial advisor will provide a human touch. So we are still relevant people. Let's not write ourselves out. So the trends of the future. Again, very important. Digitization is key. We're seeing streamlining of banking and investments. There's also robo-advisors. We need to be aware of robo-advice. There's also young investors who are quite keen on sustainable investing. They're saying, you know, how will this particular solution impact the environment under which I'm living in? environmental and social and governance issues are critical as we engage. It's part of the world of the future. Financial education, critical. Let's promote online learning platforms and also AI-powered alternatives. There's also behavioral economics, which says, you know, we are biased. We've got bias towards the way we view the world. We may have a vision of a particular aspect, but our decision-making skills haven't evolved tremendously over the years. We need to be mindful of the decision-making tools. So we are ruled by biasness. I mean, usually when markets are running and your portfolio is performing well as a client, you don't usually congratulate your consulting actuary or your financial advisor. You think it's because of your own good choices. However, when your portfolio is not doing well, then you blame your advisor or consulting actuary. It's because of the biases that we have, ranging from recall bias into social bias. The one that is close to many of us is confirmation bias. We often are glued to a certain view of a particular aspect. If you believe the rand is strong, you will continuously behave in that fashion. And unless someone convinces you otherwise, you will be well-versed and relying on that confirmation bias. We are also overconfident, again, as I indicated, when the markets are running, it's because of you. We also time the market. Markets are emotional, we are also emotional. We buy at the wrong time and sell at the wrong time. And these are some of the tools that you can use when you engage with your clients, which mirrors the AI tools. Yes, the client may use AI tools, but have they taken emotions into consideration? There's also a case for long-term perspective, a study that was done over a 93-year in my company has extracted some of the lessons that we can take with along to our clients, which supplements on AI. As actuaries, there is a formula for happiness that you can also adopt and take it along with your AI tools. I think this will rest well with actuaries in this house. So happiness is simple. It's a mathematical formula which says happiness is reality minus expectation. So you can extrapolate it no matter how you say, but the analysis is that the higher your expectation, the lesser your happiness. The higher your reality, the higher your happiness. That's how I analyze it. But try to apply it in any sphere of your life, even with your partner. So the toolkit is learn from the past, analyze the present, and predict the future. That's how I propose for a happy life. Finally, have you wondered how every generation blames the one before? And I came across this clip, which reminds us to be human. Let's take ourselves back to where we were. I'm not saying the generation that is here is better than the previous one, but I'm just saying, let's look back at the previous generation.
Take a look. A young man asked his grandfather, "Grandpa, how did you live in the past without technology, without computers, without drones, without bitcoins, without internet connection, without TVs, without air conditioners, without cars, without mobile phones?" Grandpa answered, "Just as your generation lives today. No prayers, no compassion, no respect, no GMRC, no real education, poor personality. There is no human kindness, there is no shame, there is no modesty, there is no honesty. We, the people born between the years 1930 to 1980, were the blessed ones. Our lives are a living proof. While playing and riding a bike, we have never worn a helmet. After school, we did our homework ourselves, and we always played in meadows until sunset. We played with real friends, not virtual friends. If we were thirsty, we would drink from the fountain, from the waterfalls, faucet water, not mineral water. We never worried and get sick, even as we shared the same cup or plate with our friends. We never gained weight by eating bread and pasta every day. Nothing happened to our feet despite walking barefoot. We never used food supplements to stay healthy. We used to make our own toys and play with them. Our parents were not rich. They gave us love, not material gifts. We never had a cell phone, DVD, PSP, game console, Xbox, video games, PC, laptop, internet chat. But we had true friends. We visited our friends without being invited and shared and enjoyed the food with their family. Parents lived nearby to take advantage of family time. We may have had black and white photos, but you can find colorful memories in these photos. We are a unique and the most understanding generation, because we are the last generation that listened to their parents, and we are also the first ones who were forced to listen to their children. We are limited edition. Take advantage of us. Learn from us. We are a treasure destined to disappear soon.
Thank you very much. I hope you were inspired to be human again. And this clip reminds me that, you know, we really used to visit our cousins. Nowadays, it's 15 minutes is enough for a cousin to visit me. Thank you, guys.
We know exactly why we needed to invite someone from the outside, because none of the actors would have given us this insights. Completely different angle to what we're used to looking at, but so close to home, so close to what we're actually doing every day. That one slide had learn, analyze, and project. Now, that's what we do every day. That's what you do every day, maybe under a different banner. And what I took from that is the question of balance. Let's find that balance between whether it is AI or using common sense and human logic, and the balance of using the technology but not losing the personal touch. So thank you very much for reminding us of all of that.